Welcome back to this pre-recorded edition of Steel Belted Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Robson. You can always get in touch with me, Jeff, at tellthebandtogohome.com. Thanks for being here. We are pre-recorded tonight because there's a big show going on at the Sunset Saloon. It's Jay Amar. We'll hear from Jay in just a little bit. But I should also tell you that there's another exciting show going on tonight. And I think you could do both, actually, because the other shows at times change and stuff never starts early. We're going to try to have Jay done early. So, you know, you could always head down there. But, you know, if you're listening to this show right now, you're probably not at the Sunset Saloon, in which case you might want to go check out this other show. Anyway, it is the return of a legendary rootsy singer-songwriter and all-around creative and interesting guy. Pat Temple. We got some stuff here from a couple of his records, as well as a cover of a Pat Temple song, to encourage you to go on down there and check it out. Here's something from Pat Temple playing tonight at The Times Changed. You're listening to Steel Belted Radio.
Those words I'll always remember. It's a pretty little world that's pretty wide. Up on the billboard, it flickers, flashes, and shines. Yes, you really need this. The golden section comes to life behind a golden chisel. If you are alive, baby, you are political. You don't get close, you don't get hurt. You don't get close, you don't get hurt. On that you can be sure. Get close, well, you want to make the most. And you know there's little chance that it will work. But your fingers kind of tingle and your toes, they really burn. And you forget everything. Chocolate concertos in Barcelona. That ancient sea just washed right in. There was a battle and a flood. It licked us and stung our hearts and taught us pain was good. You don't get. You can be sure that it's one thing we'll learn. You don't get close, you don't get hurt.
Upside your head, that's where you're going. Whenever you get the notion, you just run away. Out of the big sky, back to the city. Between those scraping sky towers and all, where big money buys a home and a honey. Upside your head, that's what they said. You may get your lobotomy yet if you don't come along and quit. That old workhouse will get you. Stumbling all around your way home. You twist it like a squeezed lemon. Then your body's thrown back up on the curbside beside a big old Buick. Well, that guy thinks he owns the road. He handles that car just like he's selling a bungalow. Upside your head, that's where you're going. Whenever you get the notion, you just run away. Out of the big sky, back to the city. Between those scraping sky towers and all, where big money buys a home and a honey. Upside your head, that's what they said. You may get your lobotomy yet if you don't come along and quit. He drinks champagne from a bottle. His right hand's a big cigar. Well, he's keeping up with the business, giving motivational seminars. Meanwhile, down at the workhouse, he don't ever have to pick up the tools. He got no aids on his front lawn. He got connections to stretch out clear across the pond.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Upside your head, that's where you're going. Whenever you get the notion, you just run away. Out of the big sky, back to the city. Between those scraping sky towers and all, where big money buys a home and a honey. Notion, you just run away. Upside your head, that's where you're going. Whenever you get the notion, you just run away.
That right there is Das Macht Show. They became the Dust Poets later. That's from their first record, though, One Night in Berlin. That's a cover of Pat Temple's song, Auxiliary Workhouse Breakdown. Before that, we heard Pat from an album produced by Lewis Melville, the super talented, awesome Lewis Melville. The album's called Stone Boat. We heard If You Don't Get Close, that featured Lewis's partner Tanis Slimmon singing along. That was when Pat's band became the High Lonesome Players, and Pat and his High Lonesome Players will be playing tonight at the Times Change. We also heard Pat in there from an album called One Song at a Time. We heard So Long Gone, a song featuring the late, great Willie P. Bennett doing the amazing harmonica work there. So nice. The other show going on tonight, of course, is J. A. Marr. And if you're not down there at the Sunset Saloon, well, why don't we tell you a bit about Jay and let you listen to some of his music. A couple of years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, to be precise. Jay came down to the studio and dropped by and brought along with him one of his Abercrombie Zombies playing tonight at the time at the Sunset Saloon, pardon me. Donny Zoif, who you may also know from the D-Rangers. Let's listen back to that session we had with Jay Amar and Don Zoif in 2014.
From the steel town of Sault Ste. Marie, it's a land of the Ojibwe where the Great Lakes are three. Got a northern exterior, but when all said and done, I'm just an Acadian son. So sing with me, dance with me, Acadian girl. We'll hide in those hills and we'll leave this world down to New Orleans where they're all having fun. We'll join our Acadian sons. Now I live in the big smoke where the towers run high, but it's all just a big joke cause the fun is run dry. With a fiddle and a flat top, a washboard and a squeeze box, we're a French quarter short of a good time. So sing with me, dance with me, Acadian girl. We'll hide in those hills, we'll leave this world down to New Orleans where they're all having fun. We'll join our Acadian sun. German and Spanish and the French Creole. We'll sing down on Bourbon Street every night. We'll dance the Cajun moonlight. So sing with me, dance with me, Acadian girl. We'll hide in those hills. We'll leave this world down to New Orleans where they're all having fun. We'll join our Acadian sun. Join our Acadian sun.
is Jay Amar from his latest record, and Jay joins us live in the studio. Welcome, sir.
Hello, Jeff.
How are you? Good to finally catch up with you. I think we've emailed a few times over the years. And,
That's right.
I've always, for some dumb reason, I've always missed you going out to the shows.
That's okay.
And I feel bad about that, so I feel like I've missed some stuff. So why don't you give us the bio in brief?
You're making it up right now by having us in, so it's nice to, it's nice to finally be here where all the action is. This is a
It's a pretty hopping spot here, Jay.
It's not bad, man. It's all right. You can only see it. Quick bio?
Yeah, tell, 'cause you're new to some folks out there, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so.
Been touring on and off for over 20 years, originally from Sault Ste. Marie. I guess I left the Sioux at 19 years old to go bluff my way through an English Lit degree. I mean, I'm in a university, so I want to tell people listening that I tried this. So I read a little bit, came up with a huge student loan debt.
I thought one of those.
Best way to pay it off would be to be a touring musician.
Absolutely. You know, like, what more lucrative career could you
choose?
Well,
that's the way I looked at it. It's my get-rich-quick scheme.
That's right. How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's great. I'm a flat tire away from bankruptcy. No, it's great. I'm living in the moment. Hey, I'm sitting here with Donnie Zoif, and I mean, tell, you know, come on now. What'd you have to say about the whole matter?
Look at me. There I am. Somebody just sent me a video of me when I was about 21 years old playing with Rick Neufeld on the George Hamilton the Fourth show.
Oh, really?
I was skinny. I was energetic. I didn't even have my beard then.
Wow.
You're like a fine bottle of wine, though, Donnie.
My wife said, hey, who's that good-looking guy?
Is she looking at you or the computer screen?
No, she's looking at the screen. She's not looking at me.
Okay. That's not fair. Yeah. Well, yeah, so, I mean, okay, back to my buddy. Thanks. I tossed that to you. Now we're going back to me. Yeah, you're jumping anytime.
That's fine.
So, yeah, there it was. I guess I submitted a few songs for a CBC radio contest back when I was about 25, and so I guess I'm saying as an English Lit grad, I was more of a writer, more of it, known for a little bit of poetry back then, but I learned my first three chords and discovered women and thought it all worked out well. So the CBC liked these songs, and they came to the Sioux and recorded a little EP, and it did okay, and I was doing a few festivals and opening up for the likes of Willie P. and Fred and some things like that. And I guess I just wasn't really looking at it too seriously at that point. But so I became a wine rep for a few years. And I sold I sold wine. I sold water. I sold air. That's what I'm selling now. We're selling air here. Anyway, so throughout all of those years, I played.
Yeah.
I wrote. I came out with four independent CDs. You know, sold them moderately. You know, a couple thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 of each over the course of a couple years with each time. And then I had a little break with Ian Tyson recording one of my songs and suggesting I move into this vow of poverty type of thing. And so for the past 5 or 6 years, basically, I've been out here doing about 120 to 150 shows a year, sometimes with my band, a Roots Trio.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes as a troubadour, and sometimes using regional musicians, which I'm doing this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good friend of mine, Lance Lurie. And
Uncle Thirsty.
Uncle Thirsty.
Uncle
that's
Thirsty.
Right.
He's been on this show.
I hadn't heard Fancy Pants Lance, but that's the one that made me laugh a lot more than Uncle Thirsty. But he, when I was down with him and his wife Toby last year, and he said, you know, this is who I would strongly suggest you get to play fiddle with you when you're going through Manitoba, an old friend of ours. So that's how I met Donnie. And over to you, Donnie.
I just met Jay the other day.
Get a little closer to that mic there, Don.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I met Jay just the other day, but I actually have been playing his music for about a month now because he sent me these CDs. But, you know, it's different, eh? When the guy is here, there's a connection.
So. For sure.
So
for
we're having fun, and I still play around, you know. But
yeah.
I like playing with guys like him, you know. It's, it's good for me.
Better than those crazy D-Rangers that you hung out with over all those years? We miss you too, man.
You know,
I heard Jackson was coming back to town, and we all had the same collective thought. There better be a D-Ranger show. What happened?
Who knows? You know, I always hope maybe that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It did happen one time at the folk festival.
Yeah. You guys were playing at the dinner tent backstage. It was crazy.
Yeah, and Zeppelin's reuniting too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hold your breath.
Now, Jay, you touched on a couple of things there. Now, I've only been aware of you for the past three records. I guess 2009 was the first record that I came to. But there was a whole career before that. And, I mean, that's not even listed on your website. So So was that sort of the start of the serious career? Is mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of songs that I think I intentionally reinvented myself in that capacity. I mean, I had that out there, and I did have a website with that. And I went back, and I think it literally came down to sitting down with a bottle of scotch one night. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I rarely listen to my own music.
Yeah.
I have a very hard time even just hearing that playback there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It's just the way it is. But I gave these songs a serious listen to, and as good as they were, they're not where I wanted to be.
Right.
I mean, as good as they were at the time.
Yeah.
There were a few songs which I kept and I brought forward and re-recorded, about three or four out of the last 35. Mm-hmm. But I just thought they should be shelved. So they are out there. There are a lot of people with those songs out there that request them.
Yeah.
So I guess they can't be that bad, but it's just a personal decision over a bottle of famous gross.
Right. Now, your bio, it's written by Richard Flohill, so there's, it's got to be interesting, but it says he's not a kid and he's not seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. Has he been around the block? Yes, sir. That's Jay Amar. 20 years of shows, 20 years of good friends everywhere he goes. So I guess you're sort of emerging on this more national scale a little bit later in life. Does that give you a different perspective? I mean, is this a better way to introduce yourself now that you've been around the block?
I don't know about that. First of all, as far as Flo Hill's bio and writing of that bio, he made me sound like I'm right out of a Damon Runyon novel. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you'll always find this guy around a campfire in the tap room. He'll write your story. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm not exactly the reincarnation of Stompin' Tom, Flo Hill. But no, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And the second part to the question is, I wouldn't recommend maybe starting off in the second part of your career at 40 and today's, you know, because those CDs, this new hot commodity called CDs, they're flying off the shelves.
Absolutely,
these days, right?
Like hotcakes.
So when's the last time you saw the guy on the side of the highway moving a ton of hotcakes? But, you know, anyway, I don't know. I just, you know, some days you go through the meat sweats and you wake up and you worry about your financial security and all those things that all the musicians do. But I guess the true answer to that is, with anybody listening that's wanting to sustain themselves in an artistic way, is if you just take money out of the equation ultimately and don't try to pigeonhole yourself into a box where you see something like you may see yourself married with children and financial security. That's not where it's at.
Yeah.
You just live for your art. And it can get rough at times, but ultimately the reward is the fact that you're creating it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I had that experience the first time around because I was naive enough to believe that I could will that feeling away.
Right.
But if it's in you, I think you have no choice but to let the music out, you know?
Right. Yeah. The other big thing that I certainly notice about you is that you seem to be on tour all the time. Like, do you ever go home? You seem to be always on tour.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I made a decision. If I was going to do this, I would do it all in.
Yeah.
So I sold my belongings. I left my apartment, my failed relationship with this girl I was with, who was a writer. She understood it all. And I kind of just started living in the great, you know, couch surfing at this age is maybe not recommended either. But, you know, yeah, it's like they asked Willie Nelson. They asked Waylon Jennings, "How do you kill Willie Nelson?" And Waylon said, "Take him off the road." So I'm starting to feel that way. If I'm in any place too long, I'm staying at Donnie's place right now, and I've already been there for 2 days. I'm starting to get itchy feet, even though I love the place. You know.
Don was saying he wants you to leave, too. I don't know.
If he's
too polite to say
should have went for that coffee
while you're out there.
Feel
is this
like
guy
fish.
Ever going to leave? But obviously you love being on tour and connecting with people. And, like, is that where you sort of draw your strength in this? I mean, obviously it's not the financial reward, as you said. But
well, I mean, ultimately I think you're always, you hold out in the back of your mind that something will break to the good just a little bit and maybe keep the wolf from the door, which makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just natural to feel that way, but you can't you can't frame it that way, or else you know you're going to set yourself up for disappointment.
So, right.
Yeah, for me, it's like a second go around, a second chance. I look at it a little differently.
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing that people might know about you is that song that Ian Tyson recorded, which you mentioned before.
Yeah.
How the heck does that come about? I mean, Ian Tyson is like, you know, the god of songwriting. How does God go and pick your song?
Well, okay, I was telling Donnie this story, and I said I rarely don't have an opportunity to tell it, or I guess, but I'll give you the really quick Reader's Digest version of it. So approaching 40 years old, I had read an article in the Globe and Mail on called Tyson Comes Clean at 75, and it was a retrospective of his career.
Right.
And he'd been going through a few failed relationships and marriages and living on the ranch out in Longview, Alberta, and it appeared like he was having a rough go of it. And something in the article jumped out to me and resonated. If I was reading between the lines, I think maybe there's a lot of what was going on in my own life. I hadn't been divorced, but I'd been through just coming out of a bad relationship. And I think his themes and the way he approached writing, as read in the article, resonated with me. And for some strange reason, I decided to write him. And I've never really written anybody, a famous person, a letter, but I did very quickly. And I just burned a few of my songs on a CD, and I mailed it out to his area. I tracked him down, and he called me back a few weeks later and said, "I'd like to record your Don Cherry song, and we don't know who you are, and I think you're a worthy writer, and I'd like to help you out, and you know, if you do this, I can maybe like put me in touch with Flo Hill, and you know, just prepare yourself for a vow of poverty."
Wow.
You know, and you know, if it, God willing, and the creeks don't rise, it'll all work out in the end for you. So that's really what happened. So he recorded that song and put it on his album, Yellowhead to Yellowstone.
Right.
Did a real nice version of it.
Yeah. And have you seen a lot of are a lot of people finding you through that song, through that recording?
Yes. I mean, it definitely didn't hurt when I was originally booking shows.
Yeah.
That was definitely the calling card in. So, you know.
Where did the song come from? Like, how do you decide to write a song about Don Cherry?
That's a whole other story. I was with a girl down in North Carolina for 7 years, and we used to have a little sports pub around the corner from her place in the heart of NASCAR country. And we would always hang out there, and I used to, being the good hoser I am, I would have them bring up CBC Hockey Night in Canada on the satellite feed, and I found myself having the arduous task of trying to explain who Don Cherry is to NASCAR fans. So I said, it's basically your version of John Madden in football. It's great verbosity. He's a caricature of himself. There's a softy underneath it. Why he was wearing a rose on his lapel for his wife Rose, who had passed away.
Right.
In the intro, they show his pit bull terrier Blue.
Yeah.
So throughout the course of that very quick explanation with these people, it just seemed like all the symbols kind of came into place. Man, I wrote it in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Just came really quickly.
Really?
Yeah. So and those are gifts, you know.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend said, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but you're using his persona and singing as if you're him to his wife who has passed away. He might like that. And if you are going to sing that, you might want to have his permission. So
I
would suggest
ask,
you record that and send it to him. I said, well, he's Don Cherry. He's a Canadian icon. I don't know if he's going to be accepting CDs, but... anyway,
Tyson did. He's an icon.
Yeah, what's going on? I had to write more letters. But so we mailed it. We mailed it to the CBC. And sorry, I've written two letters to famous people.
Yeah.
And he called back, I think it was not long after. It was about 8 in the morning. And I was selling wine at the time. And so, I mean, 8 in the morning was actually a reasonable thing for me to be up, but it was still an early call.
Yeah.
So I thought it was somebody, work-related thing or something, and I pick up the phone, and I hear this, hey, is this Jay Amar? Yeah. This is Don Cherry. And I totally forgot I had sent him all that.
Yeah.
And I thought it was my friend Jim from Ottawa, who would constantly call and put on voices.
Yeah.
So my first words to Don Cherry were, F off, Jim. And he started laughing and said, no, it's Don Cherry. And he heard the song and said, we love it if you record it. And our his children, Tim and Cindy, all listened to it. And I'm really glad I recorded it for him, because every time something nice has happened as a result of the song, he's written a nice letter.
Wow.
He's even written a letter to my father about being in World War II. My dad's 93 now.
Right.
So, you know, you take a chance on somebody that is that outwardly, controversial, and you humanize them. It's like a Randy Newman trick, you know. If you appropriate the persona of the individual, you can get away with a lot.
Yeah.
So by humanizing someone like Don, making him very human, it's a gamble, because you never know what he might be like in real life.
Yeah.
But he's ended up writing me these nice letters and called, and, you know, what can I say?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Can I be so bold as to ask you to play that song?
Sure. You want to play that one?
Sure.
They said I was a tough man, had mouths to feed. Majoring in the minors, I was selling cars, Rose. You helped me believe. You'd say, come on, Don, put your game face on. You can make it if you try. No one really knows how much I've cried since my cherry-colored rose has died. Hey, I'm a cold and blue, is missing you. Hey, I'm a cold and blue, is missing you. Seems like every time they put me in the corner, baby, then they watch me fight my way back out. Watch me take the offensive, then defend what I'm talking about. You're the only one who really knows. I love you, Rose. I love you, Rose. But oh, baby, it seems the Russians only rush and the Czechs don't check. Canadian boys aren't politically correct, don't you think so? Not for the money and it's not for the fame. I love this country, Rosie. I love this game. I can hear you saying, baby, come on, Don. Put your game face on. You can make it if you try. No one really knows how much I cry since my cherry-colored rose has died. Hey, I'm a cold and blue, is missing you. I'm a cold and blue, is missing you. All right, Donnie, take it over. Thank you. said I was a tough man. I had mouths to feed. Go Rangers.
Is that Don Cherry approved?
I'm not too sure about that. Like Martin St. Louis. So it's a tough call there.
It's a lovely song, Jay. And
thank you.
It's you know, you have a lot of these very seemingly personal songs. I don't know if they're a lot of them are from your life, but a lot of stuff. You know, your bio again refers to you as the everyman. Like I feel like I know you through listening to your songs. Is that important to you to have fairly emotional songs, fairly personal songs?
Well, yeah. It's not, I guess there's a different way of what I'm trying to achieve would be the best way to put it. But I was gratefully influenced by a professor I had in my third year who was a poetry professor. And he was catching some of the poems I was writing and thought I would be a perfect candidate to start writing very localized material with universal themes as the symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And it made perfect sense to me because some of my mentors would be people like Stephen Leacock, you know, small town type, writing about the small and the details of the small and local community, or Mark Twain, always with a little bit of an edge of humor for the most part. There's a strong line of humor in what I try to do. Not that song, but and I guess musical equivalents would be Tom T. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or John Prine,
the
people who write very localized stories with universal messages about, and generally about people.
Yeah,
I don't write a lot about ships or inanimate objects or historical things. It's just, you know, that's, I don't know if that answers your question.
Absolutely. You talked about that song being a gift. It came to you fairly quickly. Is that rare for you, or do they often happen that way, sort of?
Well, they don't happen ready-made. Like, the themes will come.
Yeah.
So themes will come. Usually it'll be the theme first. So I'll be thinking about a theme.
Right.
And, you know, the old, everybody says what comes first, the words or the music. I always find it just, for me, it comes at the same time. It's really bizarre.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember hearing Buck Owens once say that all the best songs that he ever wrote were the ones that just kept coming back to him, so he intentionally stopped writing his songs down.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I guess you lose a lot, and people, friends of mine. Well, Tyson's a great example. He goes to his writing cabin every day for a few hours, and has likely, I'm just assuming, hundreds of songs that are half written or almost finished.
Yeah.
And I'm exactly the opposite. I'll wait for that divine inspiration. Like the other day, I had two of them come, but I hadn't had anything come for months, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so they'll come, and then you ride that wave for a while, and then they'll be fleshed out. And the older I'm getting now, I'm learning the validity of editing a little bit and going back. And not much, usually, but just enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the way. So it's a slow go for me, but when they come in bunches, and they're more inspired than I can't sit down and just try to write something.
No,
I don't know why, but
does that theme have to percolate in your head for a while, or can it come fairly quickly?
I don't. It's just bizarre. I can't, that's something that I can't explain where that would come from.
Awesome.
I think a lot of times it just happens when you're like, I might be visiting with Donnie for a week, and we've been having a great conversations about the music industry and the characters we've met.
Yeah.
So all of that sometimes might lead to 3 weeks down the road, you're sleeping and you wake up and you're having a coffee somewhere in Twin Butte, Alberta, and you're thinking things over, but it comes back as a symbol.
Yeah.
It comes back as one thing, a thought.
Yeah.
And that thought, so the experience with the week and a half of Donnie might come out in one line as a reference to almost as a nod to what happened, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm rambling here.
that's a good thing for a songwriter to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. When it comes to putting together an album, do you try to focus on a theme, or is there an idea that puts it together, or is it just whatever great songs you've got at the time? And
I don't know. I up until now, I've never taken a lot of time with albums.
Yeah.
It's probably to my detriment, because I go in and knock them off really quickly if I feel like I have a batch of 10 that are ready to go.
Right.
I did the one that you know, Halfway Home. There was no centralized theme, but I wanted to make almost like a Simon and Garfunkel, a pure folk record.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what we set out to do. And that was done quickly. The second one, Passing Through, I wanted to have more blues influences in that. And there was no theme to that, really. Just a little more bluesy. And that took about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last one I did with David Baxter. Who's a great, great guy, great producer. We just did a Sun studio style session and just knocked that off in a few days really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the next one I want to do is, you know, the next one I do is just going to be the best day.
Yeah, you know the way it is. Yeah.
It's always the next one.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah. So I think that's the way I've been. There's no real themes to them necessarily, but this next one.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Do you have any other songs you'd like to share with us tonight?
Yeah, let's. I just for a laugh played a song that no one's ever heard before.
Oh,
and this was based on a place I was hanging out in Alma. Oops, around the eastern side of New Brunswick in the Bay of Fundy, and somebody was running around the little village writing all these little graffiti messages and painting pictures on walls and stuff, and I started thinking, oh, that might be Banksy, but or Banksy's brother. But anyway, so this is called The Country Swift. There's an old wood church on the water down here where the headstones date 200 years. A steeple tower with a broken bell where the country swift wrote, "Go to hell." Every Sunday at high noon you can hear somebody laughing. Long black car out back by a pile of tires. It's a chicken coop now with the baling wires. Tagged in red upon that hearse. God is dead and the chicken came first. Oh, walls of pages. Oh, for the prophet of the ages. Oh, walls. Walls of pages, whoa, for the prophet of the ages. And the master only works at night. You gotta do a little wrong to make things right. Well, the Red Brick School was a Jesuit station where they took all the kids from the reservation. They broke their souls in the name of Christ. There's a picture on the wall of an eagle in flight. Sometimes a picture's worth a thousand souls, man. There's a cenotaph down by the government dock with the names of the heroes carved in rock. A rusty tug stuck on the shore where the country swift wrote, "Fuck war." Oh, oh, oh. Walls on pages. Whoa, the prophet of the ages. Walls are pages. Whoa, for the prophet of the ages. Yeah.
said the master only works at night. Gotta do a little wrong to make things right. There's an old wood church on the water down here where the headstones date 200 years. A steeple tower with a broken bell where the country swift wrote, "Go to hell."
That's a good one. I like it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. You, it looks like you do a wide variety of shows, like you do from house concerts to bigger community hall concerts and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's
right. Is that sort of out of necessity, or do you love the variety?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it's survival.
Yeah.
I guess that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
You're just going out there and whoever will take the old folks in,
yeah,
you know. It's pretty well that, yeah, you just... If you'll hire me, I'll be there for the most part. Put a few bucks on the table, I'll come to your kitchen. Did you hear that, Miss McGillicuddy? $500 and I'm yours. Sorry. No, it's a little more than that. No, but, you know, it really is that. Town halls, I mean, the odd theater, the odd festival, a lot of house concerts. Sometimes a solo, sometimes a duo, trio,
yeah.
Four-piece, you know.
Yeah.
You know the drill, Donnie.
I sure do.
He sure does.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
But not a lot of festivals going on yet? Is that because you haven't tried, or they're just not catching on?
Probably just not catching on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I apply, but I throw my hat in the ring. But you know,
it's a tough racket to break into.
I think so. Yeah, they're pretty inundated. There's some smaller ones which are localized, but Well, you know, yeah, it's true. I know. I don't know. How do you do it? Somebody help.
I really don't know. People ask me all the time.
And
it's strange. But it seems like you're doing fairly well. I mean, you're getting lots of shows anyway. And
oh no, for sure, people, absolutely, yeah.
People
I
like
make
it.
It sound positive here.
Yeah.
No, I don't want this to sound negative in any way. It's actually going very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, much further ahead than I was 4 years ago.
Excellent.
And it's really been a blessing, and it's been just ultimately fantastic rolling across Canada. What's happening now as a result, it does take a while, especially on a second time around.
Yeah,
people shouldn't be taking anybody seriously until they've been out there for a while.
Right.
And I think that's just legitimate. And as arrogant as you may be when you're first starting off, I mean, I look back and I feel like I'm in excellent game shape now.
Yeah.
But I felt that way when I started. But I, you know, you look back and you think, well, you're getting better even. You never stop improving in this. You know?
That's right.
It's just the way it is.
Keep playing, you get better. That's it happens.
Yeah.
And it's the people. It really is the people. People, how do you measure success in all of this? I mean, for me, you're rambling around mostly Canada, parts of the States, and I've met so many terrific people. Most of my friends that I met in this world are beautiful people.
Yeah.
They're on the right side of the way of thinking. They're direct, they're honest, they're smart, articulate, they're fun to be around. I couldn't see any other way to want to live at this point, so.
Terrific.
That's a reward, really.
Yeah. Do you guys want to play something else, or should we go to the CD? What do you think?
Well, let's play another one.
Which one?
Which one? Well, maybe we should go to the CD. Okay, let's do this one. Stick with the hockey theme. I'll leave when I'm ready to go. It's a mellow song. So this is written from my friend Andy Frank of Roots Music Canada, who beat cancer. And he left, he just found that out about a year ago, Andy, so if you're out there, man, it's for you. And he left Montreal right after the Olympics in 76 and moved to Toronto with his family. His sister passed away of cancer when he was in his 20s. And I wrote this for him when he was kind of going through it, and so far so good.
Flower got another one. This town's insane. I can't wait till summer. We light the flame. They talk about leaving. I already know. I'll leave when I'm ready to go. You can tell me your stories. Open your heart. You might even reveal your soul. Tell me you love me. I already know. I'll leave when I'm ready to go. I promise you, mother, I'll shelter her pain. I'm just her kid brother, but she'd do the same. I'll stand in a corner, she's up for this fight. She quietly whispered last night. Tell me your stories, open your heart. You might even reveal your soul. Tell me you love me. I already know. I'll leave when I'm ready to go. These contradictions, they serve me so well. Believing in nothing to going through hell. From classical beauty to the songs of this land, here I stand. A man. There's no way of knowing the truth of this world. But for the love of a boy and a girl, tell me you love me, I already know. But I love you so. I've told you my stories, I've opened my heart. I've long ago revealed my soul. You can tell me you love me, I already know. I'll leave when I'm ready to go. Hey, I'll leave when I'm ready to go. Donny Zoif, thank you, man.
You're welcome.
That was beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess we're ready to go. Sure.
All right, let's play one more from the CD and encourage people to head on out there. They can also catch you online at jamar.com, A-Y-M-A-R. And what else should they hear off the CD?
Well, why don't you play the opening track? It's just about all the usual suspects hang out of the Cameron House. Yeah. And some of the one night I happened to be there, and some of the songwriters laid the gauntlet down on a challenge about who could write their version of I've Been Everywhere, Man.
Yeah.
From all the whistle sauce you've been through in Canada. So this is my entrance into that competition.
Did you really give a pint of blood in Winnipeg? Or
that's from all the mosquitoes.
So that's what I figured.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Man.
Don't feel much like leaving. You don't want me to go, but all your tamaracks are needling your beauty in the snow. And I'll see you soon at Christmas, a happy holiday. Oh, how you gonna miss me if I won't go away? I'm overtime, I'm in demand. Give me a sign, I'll be your man. Drinking doubles on the rock, I washed up on the shore. They shoved me off the dock for a show in Labrador. I'm sitting in this province down the corridor. I made it into Montreal to play the yellow door. I'm over time, I'm in demand. Give me a sign, I'll be your man. I know sometimes you love me, sometimes you love me not. Trying to keep my cool,
but baby, you're so hot. See you soon at Christmas. I love that holiday. Oh, how you're gonna miss me if I won't go away. I'm over time. I'm in demand. Give me a sign. I'll be your man. Well, I know I'm late and calling, babe. I was caught out in the rain, stuck behind a bus. I was waiting for a train. I'm riding on this rocket down at Bloor and Jane. I got one more show to go now, and I'll be home again. I'm over time. I'm in demand. Give me a sign. I'll be your man. Cash and silver steam are close, but it's not really true. I think life is easy for a town named Sioux. Take a batch of wanna sauna, catch a rainbow in the falls. Heading across the ditch, I'm playing nine, hold my calls. I'm overtime, in demand, me a sign, I'll be your man. Well, I know sometimes you love me, sometimes you love me not. I'm trying to keep my cool. Baby, you're so hot, and I'll see you soon at Christmas. I love that holiday. Oh, how you gonna miss me if I won't go away? I'm over time. I'm in demand. Give me a sign, babe. I'll be your man. I gave a pint of blood in Winnipeg, Regina shut me out. So I headed west to figure out what four strong winds was all about. In Pincher Creek, Alberta, I was higher than a kite. And I wound up at a roundup with cowboy poets that same night. I'm overtime. I'm in demand. Give me a sign. I'll be your man. All from the Rockies up to Yellowknife. And then back among the trees, I met some Dodgers driving westies, eating Vietnamese. And then down among the islands, where some hippies got me stoned, I can see Japan from my front door. I'm pale and coming home. I'm triple time. I'm out of tune. Give me a sign, baby. I'll be over the moon. Much like leaving, you don't want me to go, but all your evergreens are needle and your beauty in this snow. And I'll see you soon at Christmas, a happy holiday. Oh, how you gonna miss me if I won't go away?
That's it. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned for Venus Envy Punks and Parkas Ultrasonic Film. I'll be back on Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Tell the band to go home. Next Thursday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Check out steelbeltheradio.com. Thanks.